Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT. Bandwidth for Tech News Today is provided by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com.
This is Tech News Today for Friday, July 9th, 2010. Tech News Today is brought to you by Slingbox. Watch your favorite TV shows when you're away from home with Slingbox. To find an in-store demo to Best Buy near you, visit Slingbox.com. And also by Carbonite. Backing up the files on your PC or Mac is safe and easy with Carbonite. For a free trial plus 2 free months with purchase, go to Carbonite.com. Offer code TNT. Welcome to Tech News Today. I'm Tom Merritt.
And I'm Sarah Lane.
Behind the board is our resplendent producer, Eric Lanigan.
Oh, I'm resplending.
This is the show where we kick around the tech news of the day, but we don't kick you. I should make the Joshua Caleb wanted me to make sure I made that clear.
Might kick you out of the chat room.
We might if you're rowdy.
Vaynerchuk too
but,
much.
Yeah, exactly.
You're out of there.
Don't Vaynerchuk in there.
We'll leave your butt alone.
Joining us today is co-founder of Gadget, Mr. Ryan Block.
Woohoo!
And can I say friend of the show?
I'm sorry?
Can I say friend of the show?
Yeah, well, this is my first time on the show. Maybe more friend of the network.
All right, friend of the network.
He's like,
you know what?
I'm not sure I want this close enough relationship
this
with TNT.
Is a little weird.
You know, as well as I know you two, Sarah and Tom, in real life, not in show land, yeah, I'm still a little bit sketchy on whether or not this thing is going to work out.
Fair
as,
enough.
As you should be.
On your show.
As you should be, Ryan. He knows us.
Yeah.
Also, Sarah, I'm sorry, I got to call you out. It's not at Ryan Block anymore, okay? It's just at Ryan.
Oh, whatever.
I
you and Veronica with your single names, you're like Cher, you're like Bono.
Haley.
Oh, that was
whatever.
Tom, for shame.
No, I did it. Yeah, I totally did it. Are you also Ryan Block?
Oh, well, though? I retweeted you.
No, I don't use that. I don't use that one.
So there's nothing there. If someone goes to twitter.com/RyanBlock.
Tom, this is your fault.
They get
it just says go to Ryan.
We're sorry. The Twitter you're trying to follow is not in service.
One-namers. There should be a protocol.
There should be.
Well, you're Ace Detect.
There should be a forwarding service because I also have Tom Merritt.
Oh, you do?
But I just do this. I do the reverse. I tell people, well, just go look at Ace Detect. That's why.
Yeah, use the one that's harder to spell and remember.
It makes your followers more valuable.
I've been calling him Acid Tech.
You have to work at it.
For years.
Yes.
Acid Tech.
Well, you aren't the only one.
Is there, I'm sorry to completely derail this introduction. Is there a Tech News Today Twitter account yet?
There is, but we haven't done much with it because it's like an insanely long name. It's like the Tech News Today Show or something because so many variants were taken. So we're trying to figure out a handier name.
Just FYI, I went to twitter.com/technewstoday and it said the account is suspended.
Ooh, that's good news. Maybe we can try to grab
potentially.
It. Potentially.
Okay. But I wasn't sure if that was you.
No, it wasn't spamming. Suspended when we started the show, so that's good. All right, on to the actual tech news today. YouTube has announced a couple of interesting pieces of news in a blog post. First of all, a grants program, which I find really interesting. They want to, quote, act as a catalyst by infusing additional funds into the production budgets of a small group of YouTube partners who are at the forefront of innovation, and they've set aside $5 million for partner grants.
Who are these partners?
Partners are people who kind of make a contact with YouTube, set up a special site. We're doing it here at TWiT right
now.
We're
doing it here at TWiT.
And
like, would an I Just Seen be?
Yes, exactly. Kind of, yeah. Exactly. And they're going to provide people like that with equipment and other means to produce higher quality shows.
Well, no, okay. So maybe people, because I Just Seen does pretty well as it is now. Mm-hmm. I don't think YouTube gave her any equipment. So maybe folks who don't necessarily have the means to produce good content, but have the creativity.
These are people who are taking in revenue share as well.
Right.
And
so everybody wins.
YouTube is like, you know, some of them are taking in revenue share, but they're still not making enough money to get up and rolling. So we're going to seed fund them. We're basically going to fund show development.
They're helping
That's
them.
That's why
help
I think
YouTube.
This is so interesting, because it's them acting like a network or a production house saying, you know what, we're going to green light some projects here.
Including short films. That's part of the report, too.
I love the idea.
I think it's really healthy for online video. I think it's a really positive thing because that's been the biggest issue with being a YouTuber, right? I mean, you might get millions of views, but how do you monetize that? At least they're trying to think about alternate paths to kind of keep these people creating great content.
Yeah, and YouTube's never been known as the place to get the most slick creativity, sure, but it's kind of the the crappiest compression, and at least historically it has been, you know, if you compare it to a Vimeo or that type of thing.
And that leads to our other announcement. They say they're going to now support 4K video resolution. The ideal screen size, if you don't know, for 4K is 25 feet. So this is good. I mean, this allows you to make that higher quality video.
So 4K, if we're thinking of what's the previous highest 4K? I don't even know how to think of that in my head.
It's been 1080p, right?
Yeah, 1080p is pretty much 2K, but now this is 3072p. Quite
a
bit of an upgrade.
Mackerel. Yeah. Wow, that's awesome.
And 4K is super hot, right, Ryan?
In the filmmaking world, 4K is definitely getting a lot of interest, and we have yet to see a lot of 4K projectors put into movie theaters and stuff like that. So in the home space, it's basically non-existent. There's only one, I think, maybe two 4K devices that really exist, and it's like it's Panasonic's, I think, 150-inch HDTV, which they don't sell. That was like one of the first 4K devices that's ever kind of been out there. I mean, this basically, I think you can read this as publicity stunt. I don't think this has real meaning.
I hear what you're saying, which is nobody can view this yet, but there's so many people in the film space really excited about shooting in 4K that if they think, hey, you know what, I can safely upload my stuff to YouTube in 4K, and when the technology catches up for the consumer, it'll be there ready rather than having to convert it to HD later. That could attract more film people to take YouTube seriously. I think you're right, Ryan. It doesn't actually have any practical effect now.
No, and the thing with 4K to remember is 4K data streams are so massive that even if you have, like, I have DOCSIS 3, which is one of the fastest consumer internet services you can get, and I have like 30 megs, I can get 50 megs. 4K, I think, might actually saturate that. I'm not 100% sure. I'd have to go look it up. But if I remember correctly, I mean, the bit rates on 4K are just astronomical.
It's not how big your data rate is. It's how much you download.
Motion of the ocean, Ryan.
Yeah, you know, if we're talking about consumer internet service, I have Comcast. That's 250 gigs a month. You could probably burn that on a single 4K movie.
Yeah, that's a good point. Bandwidth caps are a big deal with this. But I think overall, this is YouTube positioning itself as trying to get out of that bucket where it's been, well, there's Hulu with the folks who make really good video, but it's limited. And then there's YouTube with the people who make videos of their cats running around chasing lasers. And it's wide open, but it's not very good. I think YouTube's trying to bridge that gap and say, no, we want to be for the cats and the next lost creation, except from the ground up rather than from a network. We're going to provide the money for people to start making really good content.
Yeah, they want to be a front runner, whether or not it'll take off.
Front runners. Google has been given a license to run their website in China. Our great People's Republic nightmare is over.
Although it's rather limited to results that include products, music, and what's the third?
I don't recall off the top of my head.
It's...
Products, music, and translation.
Well, this is what they've been doing since they were threatened with losing their license. They stopped the redirect.
Right.
And they put those up working on .cn and then have that link to Hong Kong.
Right. But I don't know. I guess they had to come to some sort of compromise. Obviously, Google wouldn't have done this unless it was the right decision for Google money-wise.
We think it's a softening on the part of Google? In January, after they had got hacked, they were pissed. Mm-hmm. And they were not going to take it anymore. And they were threatening to pull out of China altogether. Now that the redirect isn't working anymore, they're like, well, I guess we'll compromise and we'll put a few things up in China and we'll just have a link to Hong Kong. Is that still the hard line?
I mean, well, yeah, it sounds exactly like soft and is exactly what they did. I mean, at first they were upset. You know, so there's a bit of a knee jerk. We're out of here. And now it's like, okay, well, let's be realistic about this. We're going to have to compromise with China. They've got different laws. But and this is what they've come up with.
Taking away web search is still a very big deal.
I agree.
Well, it's not taking away web search. It's just taking web search and saying you have to click on a link on a page. What do you think, Ryan?
You know, it's tricky. I don't necessarily know how much this is financially motivated. I mean, clearly Google is doing just fine. Their share price is just fine without, you know, having a huge presence in China. I mean, clearly that's a big growth market for them. But I don't think that the market really strongly negatively reacted when Google announced that they were going to either be pulling out or pulling way back. And I don't think that they're really making enough money there now for this to be a real impact. I mean, this is a 5 to 10 year, you know, potential loss for them. But it's not, I don't think it's an immediate loss for them.
They can't afford to leave China, essentially.
You're saying they can or they cannot?
They can't.
I think they can. Right now they can. In 5 to 10 years, that might be a decision that winds up binding them. Mm-hmm. But as of right now, I don't think that it's a big enough factor for them to have to worry too much about. So they have a little bit of leverage at this point. But you know, a lot of this is politics. A lot of this is, you know, Google trying to, you know, retain its sense of Googliness, you know, of not doing evil. Or, you know, so they say, and, you know, I think a big part of it is also, you know, it's the lesser of two evils. Like, what is worse, not having anything there at all and just being completely shut down, or having something there that, you know, stands vaguely, as a political statement, about the, you know, the suppression of free speech.
The thing is too, is that by having the link to the Hong Kong version, you know, the whole point is, Chinese can choose whether to perform uncensored web searches if they so desire. I'd love to know how many choose not to.
Yeah, it just seems kind of silly.
Right?
Yeah, because you're not going to get a web search on google.cn.
Right.
So you want to go, I mean, it seems bad for Google.
You want to search the way that your search was intended for, it's just one more click.
It seems bad for Google because it's bad UI, mm-hmm. right? It also seems bad for China because, well, really, you haven't done anything to prevent.
Yeah, you know, I'm actually still unclear from China's perspective. I mean, they're obviously very well known for censorship online. Why it is that they allow you to just go to Hong Kong and do the search? I mean, they are so strict about everything else. I've never been clear actually on why that's allowed at all.
You're still behind the Great Firewall, so you can't get any content that's blocked by the firewall, even if it's indexed by Google Hong Kong. It basically for Google, it shifts the burden to China, but it's bad UI because, you know, results might just disappear for some reason, or you click on something and it's like, no, you can't access that.
Yeah. Not on our principle.
Yeah.
Go to Hong Kong for that stuff.
Also, a country-sized company that has had a revolt from their populace is World of Warcraft. The Blizzard company has backed down on using Real ID on their forums. If you haven't followed this story, Real ID makes you use your real name, and they were going to enforce that on the Blizzard forums. If you wanted to post on the Blizzard forums, you had to use Real ID and reveal what your actual name was.
And people did not like that.
Oh, no. We've had some pretty vicious emails about this because me and Becky anyway were both like, you know, I think there's some good reasoning behind why they're doing this.
I don't think forum users are gonna edit in any forum. Really,
here's the thing, you have to bake it in early. If you try to add it too late, like what they're doing here, you're never gonna get it done. If you bake it in early and you kind of make it part of the culture, then I think it's totally feasible to do, and frankly I think it's actually really healthy.
And Blizzard,
I think that there needs to be more identity and more accountability online.
Well, that was
not less.
Yeah, that was my point too. But Blizzard has, and rightly, I think, identified that their community does not want this. They didn't bake it in early enough. And so Mike Morhaime, CEO and co-founder of Blizzard, today posted on the forums under his posting name, Nathira. Mm-hmm. Although he signed it. He signed it Mike Morhaime. So he actually has his real name in the post. Anyway, he said, we're not going to do it. For right now, we're backing off. It's important that we still remain committed to improving our forums. They're gonna try to find ways to keep the flame wars down, to make constructive conversations, to allow you to get good technical support and all that stuff. That they want to make it clear that their plans for the forums are completely separate from their plans for the optional in-game Real ID system now live with World of Warcraft. And so you win, community. Good for you.
Well. Community spoke.
You fought the man.
They took them seriously.
The man being Nathira. And you won. NTP.
Anyway.
Maybe we can get the Blizzard community to take on NTP. They are the patent squatters that tortured and won over Rim in 2006 over a patent. And now they're targeting everyone. Apple, Google, HTC, LG, Microsoft, Motorola, and Sarah Lane.
Oh, man. I don't have any money.
Not Sarah, too.
I'm a little unsure on that
settle?
Last one. Yeah, you're just
going to
settle out of court. This is over wireless email, a patent that was created by Tom Campana. And Tom Campana passed away a few years ago, but his patent's still held by NTP. And far as we know, NTP, all they do is hold patents and prosecute lawsuits on those patents.
I don't know.
And
I mean,
business is
what's
good.
The over-under on yes. taking out Apple on this one?
Yeah, well, that's the part that's got me. I it doesn't surprise me at all that they're filing a patent suit, but going after Apple, Google, HTC, LG, Microsoft, and Motorola,
I mean,
all at the same time.
Exactly.
You know what happens in these patent suits is they start out with a test case, and you can kind of refer to RIM as being the test case here, and they test it. They need to go and see if this patent can hold up in court, and they did, and it took them many years to come to a completely final conclusion, and I think RIM had to pay out over $500 million, $600 million, and now they have precedent. And that's actually the most dangerous part. It is not, you know, the gall that it takes to kind of go out there and sue a bunch of these companies, but having that precedent behind you in a proven case that's closed and there are no more appeals and they've collected that money. So, or, you know, they're in the process of collection. So if you're Apple and Microsoft and Google and any other company in the space right now, HTC, you better really be, you know, watching your back. I mean, this is not going to be good. This is going to take a couple of years, but this is going to be really,
really ugly. Would it be smarter to go after them one at a time, or is it better to just hit them all at once? Because you feel like they might team up with each other against you, and that's a lot of lawyer firepower against you.
Totally.
Again, I think it comes back to the precedent. That is the most dangerous aspect here. They've gone to court, they've proven in court that, you know, this other company, RIM, is in violation of this patent. They've set precedent, and now that's their weapon that they're going to bludgeon other companies with. So I don't think that it's really, you know, a matter of firepower. I think that probably what they're going to do here is they're going to aim for settlements.
They're going to try to stay out of court. I mean, and that'll be the question, is whether these guys say, you know what, you're right. There's not a whole lot of weaknesses there. We've scrutinized it already before you ever brought this suit, and we realize, you know, once you've won in court, Ryan's right. It's really hard to change that precedent. Although if there is a weakness there, this is the team that's going to find it. These companies are going to be able to exploit it. Just, you know, it would be kind of huge legally, I think, if they were able to overturn it, right?
Is anybody rooting for NTP?
NTP?
But anybody else?
No.
I mean, really, it's like, it's hard to, the whole thing is just seems so slimy to me.
It's like SEO.
Yes.
Everybody remembers SEO, or
they say
wishes they could forget SEO.
They say they're going to try again, by the way, SEO SCO, depending on
how. Really?
This kind of thing, it's almost like you want to just put the case down and say, look, you know, we got to go back to the drawing board with intellectual property, patent law. In the United States, because this is, it's gone on long enough. I mean, this is not a sustainable system, this kinds of thing happening. And we're not only stifling innovation, we're actually like ruining companies, perfectly viable companies because of patent trolling.
Absolutely.
Right. Yeah. Someone like Apple, they could pay whatever they need to pay. Not everybody's an Apple.
If you give your credit card out, you know that you're risking identity theft. Every day when you hand over that number, you trust that the business you're engaging in is not going to have some kind of data corruption or going to lose that. And I'm not talking about shopping online. I'm talking about going to a hotel.
Tom, tell us more.
A study released this year found that credit card hacking cases last year were dominated by hotels. 38% involved the hotel industry. They take your credit card, they store it in a database, and then that database gets hacked.
Is there a certain database that all these hotels are, like a common database that is vulnerable that these hotels are using? I mean, is it the credit cards? Where's the problem, and why is it hotels? Because
there's one database. It's just that most hotels don't spend a lot of money securing their databases.
Interesting. Well, that's enough hoteling for me then. I'm never going anywhere again.
Last month, Wyndham Hotels sent customers a statement saying that a sophisticated hacker had penetrated their computer system. Although this story in New York Times doesn't make us sound like you have to be that sophisticated, frankly.
No. Any idiot hacker can do this.
From November 7, 2009 to January 23rd, Wyndham said it was improving its security technology. But the story in the New York Times pretty much alleges that these guys kind of rush to get modernized with their systems and don't spend the time and money necessary to secure them.
Any hotel at all? Well, for the most part. I mean, Four Seasons, a little different than the...
I wouldn't jump to that conclusion, frankly. They don't say that there's a pattern where it's like, oh, well, you know, the lower class hotels are the ones to worry about. Actually, those hotels are where you can pay cash, right? Because it's only, you know, $30 a night. Those are the ones
it's
you don't
have to worry
about. It's an hourly rate. Or I wasn't quite going that
so,
far.
So, moral of the story, you use Leo's credit card?
Yeah, definitely.
Always.
Traveling?
Okay. Everyone in the world.
I think the moral of the story is it's not about using your credit card online. I think we're well past that. It's about the fact that the entire world is networked and databased. And, you know, your information, if you want to operate in the modern world, is in the hands of somebody else. Sad to say.
Okay.
Lesson learned. Just a couple of numbers. The sector was well ahead of the financial services industry, which accounted for 19%. Of the breaches. Retail only counted for 14.2%, and restaurants and bars, where you think like, oh, you know, any waiter or waitress could, 13%.
Huh.
So well behind.
Surviving on tips.
Hotels far in the lead. Don't stay at hotels. Dirty sheets.
They're bad.
And dirty
credit
cards.
No more vacation. Camp
out. You don't
stay
at hotels, do you, Ryan?
Cash only with a pseudonym.
Right. My name is Brian Locke.
And I'm not going to tell you what that pseudonym is, but you will never guess it.
The Sausage King
in
Chicago?
And it's not an anagram of my regular name, I promise.
That would be pretty funny. All right, on to the Australians. Good news for you. The internet filter that would be censoring websites for you that has been very controversial is being put off for at least a year. The country's communications minister, Stephen Conroy, said the review was needed to see if the scheme reflects current community standards.
So depending on which side you fall on, this is either good news, buys some time, or bad news because the whole thing should be dropped.
Well, it kind of one of the interesting things about this is you had Christian groups and Electronic Frontier groups
saying,
both saying
this is bad.
There's problems with this.
Exactly. That's not a good sign.
Right.
It was getting attacked from all sides.
Well, the problem is that, in theory, this is one of those things where you go, okay, child pornography and a host of other things. Everyone goes, oh, yes, that's bad. That should be taken down. We shouldn't be doing that. The problem is that those kind of umbrella terms, it doesn't work that way online. You end up filtering out.
It's a slippery slope to greater censorship.
Yeah, exactly. And I think everyone kind of looked at this and said, no, we got to go. This has to be refined a little bit. Even the Christian groups.
There was also an Australian senator, Scott Ludlam of the Green Party, was quoted as saying, you know, we have got a leadership change. We've got an election looming. They're just trying to clear away bad news. They don't want anybody to be mad about this filter, so they're going to put it off until after the election. Cynical, but probably true.
Yeah, it's certainly a factor.
Couple of Apple rumors to throw at you today.
Woo!
New Apple TV might be pushing 99-cent streaming TV rentals.
Woo-hoo!
According to a new TV story. And not only that, but they suggest in the story they might get rid of downloads.
What I like about this is that I love sort of the 99-cent sort of manipulation. You know, it's cheaper. You'll rent it. You don't really want to buy the stuff anyway. Is that people kind of go, yeah, because it's sort of a lot of folks don't think this sort of thing through. It's like, no, I don't want to buy that show. I'm only going to watch it once. So renting it for half of the price, that makes a lot more sense to me. But then they'll end up making a lot more money that way.
I would be more likely to rent a TV show than a movie with this stupid restriction that you have 24 hours to finish watching it after you start watching it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really want to rent movies ever. Because I don't usually finish a movie all in once.
Why?
It's actually rare that I don't.
Is that hard for you?
I'm going to back you up on that one, Tom.
What?
The one time I tried this, I ran into the movie. I started watching it. I didn't have as much time on the plane as I thought I had. I had to cut it off about three quarters of the way through. And this is like such a textbook thing, right? Like, you know, it's like you couldn't make this up. And so, you know, I get off the plane, I go do my thing, and then I go back to watch the movie later, and it's been 24 hours, and I can't watch it anymore.
Okay, that's a good example when 24 hours is not enough. Late, otherwise,
you start to fall asleep. Oh, you know what? I'm going to finish this tomorrow night. No, you can't finish it tomorrow night. It's past 24 hours.
I think you guys just have really bad concentration, and you need to go back to the... Pause this movie. I got to go bring back Blizzard forms for a while.
Bring back late fees. 99 cents, get another day.
Well, they give you 30 days to watch the movie. That makes sense to me. Like, sure. This rental period will only last 30 days. That's all they need to do. This, you have to finish it within 24 hours thing is just ridiculous. I don't get that.
I mean, I understand. Okay, so what? You want 48 hours? I mean...
30 days. I'm renting it for 30 days.
Half-hour episode might take me 30 days.
Well, not
gosh
for TV.
Darn it.
That's what I'm saying. With TV, I'm not worried about that.
Okay.
It's movies that I'm worried
about. You should at least get the weekend.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I don't know if that's really what I would get up in arms about, the fact that I only have 24 hours to watch a movie.
I do. I get
usually when I rent movies, I watch them right then in their entirety.
You're old fashioned.
I know. I'm like a school mom.
You probably turn out the lights and make popcorn, too.
I even read novels.
I will say that this is a lot less interesting to me than the idea of something like Hulu Plus on the Apple TV. I would much rather be just getting like a package and service and have like kind of a known quantity of all the stuff I can be watching on demand than doing these microtransactions for each and every individual show. I mean, both are fine. And I'm sure, you know, a lot of people clearly people understand that model of I'm going to pay you 99 cents and I'm going to get this show. You know, it's something we've been doing with music for a very, very long time. But, you know, at the same time, I'd rather just like cut cable and pay somebody, you know, 15, 20 bucks, whatever, and just get the shows that I want and not have to worry about the, you know, the feeling of being nickel and dimed every single time. An economist will tell you that, you know, if you're presenting this as an alternative to something where you pay a flat fee, then most people are actually going to choose to go the flat fee route, even if they pay more because they feel like they're not paying as much because you're not making that transaction 99 cents every single time.
You don't deal with the hassle of it. Mm-hmm. Taiwanese site Apple Pro has just posted some shots of what appears to be a tiny Apple-labeled touchscreen panel. Apple Pro has a pretty good track record on this sort of stuff. So what do you think this is?
How tiny is this, first of all? I mean, can we put it next to a paperclip or something?
It measures just 3 centimeters.
Like square? It's a little 3 centimeter square.
3 centimeters on a side.
That's something that I would throw away inadvertently within 24 hours.
It's the iPod Touch Nano.
That's really small.
Who knows what this is? Ryan, do you have any insight into what this might be?
Did you guys see that Futurama episode?
With the iPhone? Yes, definitely.
I think this is a retinal implant. I will say that
eye monocle.
I hope that they do that. You know, there's been speculation that this has something to do with the new Shuffle. I hope they do something with the Shuffle, just because the no buttons thing it's just gone way too far. And I see how they got there. And, you know, they've certainly provided solutions for most of the common functions that you need to do on the Shuffle. But just not having any screen at all, not having any kind of, you know, visual feedback, it just feels really, it doesn't feel right. Mm-mm. It's weird. I hope they add a screen to it.
It's bizarre.
Doesn't
a new
really...
Shuffle, perhaps.
Oh, yeah.
That's not
Could
bad.
Be a new Shuffle.
That's not a bad...
Perhaps on that new Shuffle someday, you'll be able to put apps, maybe a Slingbox app. This episode is brought to you by Slingbox. They let you watch your home TV anywhere you go. iPhone, iPod Touch, BlackBerry, laptop, MacBook, Android mobile phones. Maybe someday a Shuffle with a touchscreen. Don't know about that.
Shaky segue today, Tom.
You go to Best Buy. Thanks for pointing it out. Go to Best Buy, purchase a Slingbox, bring it home, hook up your Slingbox to your TV and your internet connection. Then you can watch your TV on your mobile phone or your laptop wherever you go. Mine is still hooked up at home because even though everything else is in boxes, I want to be able to watch my TV wherever I go. So I can.
That's right. You're moving, but your Slingbox stays unboxed.
Yeah, until the very last moment. And then once that DirecTV gets hooked up at my new home, then I bring the Slingbox over.
What are you going to do for that hour where you have to transport your Slingbox in a box from house A to house B?
I wonder what the connection-disconnection overlap is. I'm curious.
A black hole.
Yeah, because I've got a box that I don't have to remove from my old location, but I don't want to have an internet connection over there. Mm-hmm. Curiouser and curiouser. Anyway, if you want a demonstration about how Slingbox works, go to slingbox.com and you can find an in-store demo at a Best Buy near you. On to our science-y stories.
And Science Friday.
Wait, is that copyrighted? I don't know. Trademarked. An artificial intelligence program is predicting manhole explosions in New York City.
which already happened, by the way.
Yeah, this is a real
real phenomenon.
Yeah.
Not so often do they do the forces combine to send a manhole like 300 feet in the air, but it does happen. And sometimes there's fire.
Have you ever seen one?
I haven't seen it when I lived
in New York, but I have a theory as to why they built this.
And?
Because some guy decided he wanted to ride a manhole.
That's a Guinness Book of World Records.
It's like Columbia University statistician graduates, wants to ride manhole, and devotes his life to finding the right moment in time on the right block.
They say aging electrical wires and sewage access points around Manhattan combine sometimes to create a dangerous mixture of sewer gas and decrepit wiring.
That's not a manhole I want to ride.
They ran the algorithm and then kind of stopped it short for 3 months, and then had it predict based on that data what those 3 months should have been, like the past 3 months, and then compared it to what actually happened. And it did pretty well. I think it got like 11% of the correct. Wait, let me find this exactly, because it did a good job at figuring out.
Let's make sure we've got our manhole data straight.
Yeah, exactly. They're taking the long view on this, man. By the way.
It's Friday.
Oh man.
Look, Ryan Block's like, why did I decide to do this show?
Manhole explosions aren't just spectacular; they're dangerous," said one firefighter. I can't find this little the part with the 11%, but they did a good job. They basically here we go. The top 2% of manholes ranked as vulnerable by the algorithm included 11% of the manholes that had recently had a fire or explosion.
Even if you could ride a fiery manhole, mm-hmm. would you want to? Let's really talk about this seriously.
Depends on your preferences.
I think it's dangerous. What if the manhole flips? I mean, we know what manholes are like. I don't want to be on a fiery manhole. I see why you're laughing now.
I don't know.
This is curious language, yes. Isn't it?
Why would anyone be laughing at this conversation?
I have no idea.
There's absolutely no double entendre
These
here.
Things just come out of my mouth. I don't know why you're laughing.
Ride the fiery manhole.
Why would anyone want to ride a fiery manhole?
It's like a circus in here.
See, all this could be avoided if we just said cover. Manhole cover.
Let's move on to something much more disgusting, which is Comic Sans.
Ah!
Cavs owner Dan Gilbert.
I can't believe
he
even said out loud I need a toothpaste.
Why is the internet being done in Comic Sans?
LeBronification.
Now? Yes.
Tom.
What is this?
So what happened? You may not know about this because it was a small story missed by many, but a basketball player named LeBron James, he's a good basketball player. He's got some fans. Played for the Cleveland Cavaliers. Last night moved to the Miami Heat.
Oh, he's from Akron.
Yes, he's from Akron. So, you know, he's big in Ohio.
Yeah.
Certainly Cleveland. He's a real, local hero.
Yes.
So he moved to Miami Heat. Well, the Cavaliers owner, I think his name is Dan Gilbert, wrote kind of the city of Cleveland, you know, let's band together. LeBron is really kind of, you know, he's told us what he's really like. And, you know, this will not, Cleveland can't be kept down. We're a proud city, blah, 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 blah. Well, that was all sort of overshadowed by the fact that this published statement was written in Comic Sans.
Why did he do that? Why would anyone do that?
I don't know. I have to assume that Dan Gilbert, owner of the Cleveland Cavaliers, doesn't understand the kind of Comic Sans meme that has been the sort of the butt of the internet joke for many years now.
So now Comic Sans is the top trending topic on Twitter.
Above
and
LeBron
now for
James
a letter
himself.
From a guy whose desk cannot be taken seriously, given the typeface in which he's typed.
So, because we're all kind of...
And shouldn't that be against the...
Smug jerks on the internet now. There's a lot of...
HTML standards to force Comic Sans on people?
See, now, I feel like it's cool to hate Comic Sans.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's the best fun out there. It's not.
I hated Comic Sans long before it became
Yeah,
cool.
I bet you did. You hated Comic Sans before it was even Comic
before
Sans,
it was big.
Right?
Yeah. Back when it was unidentified font 32.
Back in the clubs, I was spinning Comic Sans before you were even 13.
That's right.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it's Comic Sans has is bigger than Comic Sans now.
We've said Comic Sans more often than Manhole. I think we're good.
Okay.
Let's move on to the calendar. We got a few things coming up. What do we got, Sarah?
Droid X coming July 15th. Who's going to be waiting in line besides not me?
I don't know.
I have enough devices.
I think I'm okay this round. I'm gonna wait.
Might be.
I already have mine. Oh. I can go run and grab it in the other room if you want to see it. It's great. I love it.
Are you going to go wait in line?
I don't actually remember the last time I said that about a Motorola.
That wasn't the question, Ryan. Are you going to wait in line?
And you have
wait
your
in line
droid,
holding it.
And have your droid
the
X
question's
out.
Already been answered because I already
people.
Have one.
I think, you know, you just show off.
I mean, you know, so there will be lines. Okay.
Yep. They're expecting big lines for the Droid X.
Okay. How big?
I don't know. Long lines. Get there early.
Yeah.
I hope they don't make you buy a bumper.
Right.
We'll find out if you can use it left-handed.
That
also,
would be
Plants
nice.
Vs. Zombies 2 news coming August 2nd. PC Gamer says they got an invitation saying that there would be an announcement about Plants vs. Zombies 2. Actually, what does it say? Save the date, August 2nd, 2010, SF.
What would the announcement be besides Plants vs. Zombie 2?
And that's it. That's okay. What the announcement's going to
so
be.
So Plants vs. Zombie 2 out August 2nd.
And
or
we're
at least
very...
Yeah,
but that's what we think.
Yeah.
And we're very sad Facebook has closed its gift shop.
RIP gift shop.
Do not go to the lobby. Well, hurry
what am
up.
I going to do with my $1 every time it's a friend's birthday?
Where will I go to waste my money?
Seriously, I want to buy Ryan Buck a teddy bear for his birthday.
Hurry up. You've got until August.
Thanks. You missed it. Like Tom's. Sorry.
Yep. All right, on to the voicemail. First one comes from Joey, who has an idea for hybrid safety. Safety first.
How's it going, TNT show? My name is Johan from SoCal. Just called before I got cut off.
Johan.
What I was trying to get at as far as the automatic cars, the caller that called in on episode 27 saying that to have an automatic and manual mode, this is another prophecy that was foretold from the none other than the Demolition Man movie. Just thought I'd like to mention that. Take care, and I love the show.
Molly Wood and I, Molly from Buzz Out Loud, have long held that all things that happen in Demolition Man will come true.
So how long have you not been using toilet paper?
That one hasn't come true.
Yes. You don't have the three seashells?
I don't have the three seashells, but I bet somebody in Japan does.
I've been in countries where toilet paper is not used.
Right, but do they use the three seashells?
They use the hand shell. Actually, it's the left hand.
Thank you, Johan, for pointing out that very important progress in our society. Now maybe we have Joey.
Yes, I think we do.
From Michigan. Who still has an idea for hybrid safety.
He's been waiting.
Hi, TNT show. It's Joey from Michigan. And anyway, I have an idea about the hybrid being too quiet thing for the visually impaired. Whistle hood ornament. It goes 40 miles per hour and goes when it goes fast because the wind's moving through it, and that just clear anyone out of the way or annoying to death. Whichever way, it solves the problem. So, love the show then.
Solves the problem or creates a whole new problem.
Okay. This is the best internet video possibly of all time. You guys have seen the whistle tips video, right? The whistle goes, woo!
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yes. It's that woo, woo!
So you get that.
He knows what's going on. This guy, I like.
Yeah,
I don't
the
know
Oakland guy.
Yeah.
Joey?
Woo, woo.
I like this guy.
You like him, Joey?
Yeah, I think he's got the right. He's got the right attitude.
Worst
although,
idea ever.
Noise pollution. I'm not an advocate of noise pollution. But I will say that sometimes the hybrids they creep up on me.
I sneaked up on somebody in the parking lot the other
street,
day.
It just happened yesterday. I live in the city, so I have to park like blocks away from my house always. I never get a spot right up front. Crossing the street, hybrid comes up, and then it's like, wait, did that car just disappear? What happened? Something's wrong here. It just sort of shut off.
Yeah.
And I felt like it was going to get me.
It just disappeared.
Right. The hybrids are weird.
Yeah.
I can see that.
And they're full of angry
so
drivers.
They should just be kind of like a woo, just some sort of nice vuvuzela type sound, which we've all been desensitized to now. Thank you, World Cup. So what's the problem?
There you go.
I'm into it.
Vuvuzela woo woo. Woo-woo-zella.
Vuvuzela goes, eh.
260-TNT-SHOW if you would like to send us your own voicemail, or you can email it to tnt@twit.tv. We do get emails. We got one from someone in Bar Harbor, Maine.
Did they not? And they said, "Hi, TNT crew. Thought you might like to see how the theater in Bar Harbor, Maine sells traditional 2D movies. Don't know whether they provide glasses. Smiley face."
So it's an old Bar Harbor theater, the Criterion, that...
Toy Story 3 in classic 2D.
Oh, classic 2D.
That's nostalgia.
Wow. It's just like the old days.
So this is the Criterion Theater's sort of lighthearted way of saying, yeah, we don't really have 3D capability, but we'd like you to watch Toy Story 3 here. Also and got, you know what? I applaud them.
We also got a quick
work
tip
with what you got
from a sysadmin, Paul. This is Paul who wrote in yesterday, who said we
Paul the octopus,
Paul the Hawaiian.
Oh, okay.
Paul the Brit in Hawaiian.
Ah.
Used to routinely juggling 15 plus secure passwords in his head that all change on a regular basis. Use sentences to form the password, taking the first letter of each word and mix in a bit of leet speak for good measure. For example, Tom Merritt's beard makes him look very suave would be a sentence. I don't know that it's a true one. TMBMHLVS would be your password then, and then you turn that into TMBMH1V5. Because you take the L, turn it into 1, S, and turn it 5. It's really easy to memorize a sentence, especially if you make it something relevant to you, be it office gossip or whatever.
I've heard this before.
It's like Roy G. Biv.
It's the sort of thing where you think, well, I don't know, this is hard. But I think if you were just to get into the habit of always having passwords.
I've done it for years, actually. If you have a phrase in your head that you can remember, then it actually makes the password very easy to remember. So let's all go around and share our passwords.
Yeah, what are your passwords, Ryan?
Mine is Sarah1337.
Let me tell you all my passwords, starting with my most secure.
Get a pen.
Do you have a way that you use to memorize passwords, Ryan?
Maybe. I don't know. Do I?
Wow, now that's security.
You'd like to know.
I don't even know if I have a password.
I don't know if I use passwords, Tom.
What do you think?
Are you now, or have you ever been secure?
When did you stop using your password?
I have a way that I create passwords, but then I use a password manager now, which I resisted for a long time.
I don't have one. I have a nonsensical password that I have maybe like 15 iterations of. So what happens is like when I log into Last.fm or somewhere that I don't log into that regularly, I get it wrong 5 times and eventually I get it right because it's one of my various nonsensical versions of the same password.
If you're looking for a good way to manage your passwords, check out Security Now this week. They will tell you about LastPass and why Steve Gibson and Leo love that. If you're looking for a good way to back up your data, try Carbonite because they are sponsoring today's show and they are the leader in online backup. Unexpected computer disasters happen all the time and you can prevent them. I just now got an email this morning saying my initial backup was done. I had re-signed up for Carbonite because I put in a new hard drive and I'd messed up my old accounts. Long story, but I re-signed up last Saturday and I was like, okay, when's it going to start doing the backup? It just quietly did it in the background. I never touched it. It took a long time because it's, several hundred gigabytes, but it never got in the way. It never stopped me from doing anything. It just backed up in the background and then sent me the email, all done here. Which I've never had with other background. It's like things are crashing and it's not working. I have
You've
to check
go
in
away
on
for
it.
A couple of hours. I think a lot of people did. Oh, I don't have time. My backup's so big.
So if you want unlimited backup for your PC or Mac, it's only $55 a year. That's 15 cents a day. Try it for free. Don't even have to pay the 15 cents a day. Go to Carbonite.com. Enter the offer code TNT. If you decide to buy the service, you'll get 2 months free with offer code TNT. Be sure to sign up for the free trial from the homepage to get the 2 months free, and you don't need a credit card to try the free trial. So check it out, carbonite.com, TNT. We got one last email.
Yeah, this is an important one, so everyone pay attention if you've been slacking off. Hello, Tom and TNT crew. This is from Boyden, Emery Steele, Tominick. I found Horse Boy on Google Street View, and I was thinking that if I go further down the road, I could see a few seconds earlier in time as Google Street View works.
Very smart.
So I went further down the road and found something interesting. That's Horse Boy clearly holding a mask in his hand. That's Horse Boy getting ready to put the mask on. Horse Boy putting the mask on. Horse Boy smiling for the camera. So this is not an actual Horse Boy, just someone with a horse mask. Puzzle has been
this
solved,
not,
Tom Merritt.
This does not prove anything about
I don't know if
Horse
I can
Boy.
Believe this.
I don't know. This, no. I mean, this we're, this is visual
this is
evidence
hoax.
On Google Street View itself.
This may, at no. best, be proof that someone was masquerading as Horse Boy. But I don't think it proves the non-existence of horse boy. Do you, Ryan?
Yeah, at very best, I would say, you know, this is
an imposter,
you know, just a minor
and
temporary setback to the horse boy mythology.
And we all know how unreliable Google is with their Street View data. This could have been hacked.
Right.
To make horse boy look bad.
This is Google's way of trying to get horse boy's Wi-Fi information.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? It's not going to work because horse boy's got, he's multiplying.
Maybe, you know, let's go cycle back through these pictures again for me. Now enhance, zoom in. No. So we see someone, maybe they have something in their right hand. Maybe it's their lunch. It's hard to tell.
Yeah. He might be a construction worker in a purple forward. Shirt.
Yeah, I mean, that could be a glove on horse boy's head.
It's a
lens flare off of his head, off of his horse head, off the mane that makes it look like that.
White hair.
Yeah. I don't think this proves anything.
I don't think this proves anything except that horse boy has legions of fans, and imitation is the most sincere form of flattery.
So, if you haven't
go on with your bad self,
anything from this episode, you should have learned, watch out how often you say manhole. And in what context?
Fiery.
And horse boy, still possibly real. Fiery manhole. Yes, exactly. twit.tv/TNT is our web address. Thank you, Ryan Block, for being on the show. We appreciate your insight and for putting up with our chicanery. Let people know where they can find you.
Just at gdgt.com or twitter.com/Ryan.
And you can email us, TNT at twit.tv or 260-TNT-SHOW is the phone number. See you next week.